Now humorist Alfred Gingold joins us with some thoughts on a contemporary rite of passage, buying your first sofa.
One day I sat down on our sofa and it collapsed. As I plummeted through layers of frayed fabric, well-tamped upholstery, skewed springs, and wobbly frame, I pondered the sofas in my life. Rickety cast-offs of family or friends, for the most part, of no further use to the original owners and given to me merely as a brief stop en route to the junk pile. They all reached the end of their usefulness in more or less the same way, I mused, descending. By the time my bottom had touched bottom, cushioned by the huge, springy dust balls which lurk beneath all my furniture, I'd reached a momentous decision. It was time to go out and buy a new sofa. Suddenly I was filled with the gruesome sense of having passed into a new and dismal phase of grown-up life. Suddenly I was surrounded with options I'd never really considered before, and had no particular interest in now. Do I want a high back or a low back? Curved or straight? Soft arms or wooden arms? Modern or period? If the latter, what period? If modern, how modern? Is postmodern a period or a contradiction in terms? What's the difference between a sofa and a couch? Isn't leather hard to keep clean? Do I want a sleeper? Big question, that. If I don't get one, I'll have no place to put my swinging, footloose friends when they blow in from out of town and need a place to crash. On the other hand, do I really want those freeloaders sponging off me? Why, they probably don't even have sofas of their own just for sitting, let alone one that can unfold for me to sleep on, should I ever blow through their neck of the woods again. Not that I ever will. My rambling days are over, my friend. That's why I'm buying a sofa. That's why my friends are probably snickering at me when my back is turned. He's bought the whole 9 yards, they're saying. He's got a sofa. Too bad. He used to be a fun guy. That's what they say now. But it'll happen to them. Sooner or later we all face the sofa issue. So take heart and take a seat. Perhaps on a solid foam rubber sofa. Usually about the cheapest sofa you can find, and with good reason. They ooze out from under you as if you were trying to recline on a huge, ill-tempered amoeba. Back sufferers need not apply for these, and by back sufferers, I mean anyone with vertebrae. Then there are futons, those wonders of the Orient, equally unsuitable for sleeping or sitting. Still, they're so easy to roll up and store, especially if you have 6 arms and the upper body strength of a gorilla. For more conventional tastes and better endowed checkbooks, there are infinite numbers of normal sofas in stores across the land, all in minutely varied shades of beige, all reasonably comfortable, all sort of well-constructed, and all so dull you just want to cry. It's too bad that just about every living room needs a sofa, unless the room has a conversation pit. I wonder whatever happened to conversation pits. Doesn't Hugh Hefner have one? Out of the question for me, I'm afraid. The downstairs neighbors would almost certainly object if their ceiling were suddenly 2 or 3 feet lower. Well then, what about some of those great big pillows? Versatile, colorful, cheap? Who am I kidding? The image of me relaxing languidly on some great big versatile colorful pillows is quickly replaced by one of a fiendishly giggling chiropractor, rubbing his hands as he regards my twisted supine form. No pillows, no futons, no more funny stuff, I'm afraid. When you've arrived in the adult world, you get a sofa. After a trip like that, everyone needs something soft to sit on.
Alfred Gingold's books include Items from Our Catalog, a spoof of the L.L. Bean catalog, and Snooze, a parody of the New Yorker magazine.